Coming to you live from the Retroist Vault, Retro Radio Memories is on the air.
Hello, friends, and thank you for joining us once again on the Retro Radio Memories podcast as we continue the old-time radio show adventures of Horatio Hornblower in the third segment of the Mad King story arc. In the last episode, Captain Horatio Hornblower and his valiant crew on the HMS Lydia were able to wage a ferocious battle against the Spanish ship they were searching for, the Natividad. They not only were able to defeat a sailing vessel with more firepower than their own without a single shot, but also managed to capture the commanding officers of the Spanish vessel. Hornblower and his men were in good spirits, and for very good reason. The prize money owed to them from the selling of such a frigate would fill their purses with guineas. Too bad, however, that upon being summoned by El Supremo, Don Julian, the Mad King, Hornblower was informed that the Spanish ruler-turned-revolutionary demanded the Natividad be turned over to his forces. Even worse, he has plans on executing those Spanish officers that Horatio has captured. Can Hornblower find some way to make Don Julian see reason? Let us find out today on today's episode entitled Shaky Alliance with El Supremo, which originally aired on September 21st, 1952 on the CBS radio network. So let us join Captain Hornblower once again on Retro Radio Memories.
Call all hands. Speak to quarters. Run out the gun. Stand by the starboard battery.
One broadside into it, if you please, Captain Bush.
Pointers on target. Flintstocks ready.
Aye, aye, sir. Ready.
Fire.
Michael Redgrave as C.S. Forrester's Indomitable Man of the Sea, Horatio Hornblower.
My mission, I'd been obliged to turn over the Natividad to the madman Don Julian, who called himself Divine, Almighty, El Supremo. Now he was coming aboard to murder my prisoners, the Spanish officers. I was determined to save them, at least.
Come here, you. Are you the Spanish sailing master?
Si, senor.
What is that image beside the taffrail there?
It's of the Virgin and Child, senor.
Throw it overboard.
But wait,
senor. I prefer to have the pleasure myself. So, now, which is the youngest of your mates?
I am, senor.
Very well. You will hold up your hand and declare your disbelief in any other divine lord than our gracious El Supremo. Up with your hand. Good. Now repeat after me. I swear.
No, senor. No, I cannot. I dare not.
No, then we shall not meet you, shall we? Lieutenant Barrio, Inferno, throw that overboard. No, the next man. You swear your disbelief?
There was no further trouble from the officers. They took the new oath one by one, as indeed they
must. Oh, you see, men.
Then De Crespo spoke to the crew, a mixed collection of Spaniards, Chinese, Negroes, Indians.
Sweeping Spaniards from the dominion of America. Within a year, the whole of the land from Mexico to Peru will be at his feet. There will be an end of Spanish misrule, of brutal domination, of slavery in mine and thieves. There will be land for everybody. Freedom and happiness under El Supremo. You can join us all. The alternative you have seen. Now, who is for El Supremo?
I am. I am too.
Thank you too, Captain. I think there is no more need for your prize crew now. Any insubordination arise later, I shall be able to deal with it.
I'm quite sure you will. Mr. Gerard, you'll order your crew to withdraw and return to the Lydia. As my boat bore me back to my ship, I reflected bitterly on the murder of the Spanish master's mate. But there was nothing I could have done. At all costs, I must not fall out with Supremo or his followers while my orders remained uncompleted. As I reached my own deck, the boom of a gun from the Natividad was answered by one from the Lydia. A new flag was flying from the peak of the Natividad, blue, with a yellow star in the middle.
Fire six!
If I hadn't been born a ruddy fool, I shouldn't be here.
Fire seven!
I've left my wife and I left my home, everything that's dear.
Half an hour later, El Supremo came riding down to the beach with his ragged retinue, and I met him there. As we rowed out to the Lydia, I ran my eye over the ship to see that all was ready to receive our ally with full military formality. But before he mounted the ladder, he remarked,
"The correct salute for me, Capitan, is 23 guns."
Mr. Bush, pass the word to Mr. Marsh for 23 guns.
Don't look so stricken, Mr. Bush. It's two more than His Majesty himself receives. It's entirely meaningless.
Aye, sir. Dinner will be served shortly, El Supremo. Would you care to come below?
I will dine here, alone. Let the food be brought to me.
Misery and embarrassment of our makeshift dinner in the gunroom, into which we crowded with Supremo's retinue, was mercifully cut short by the arrival of the officer of the watch.
Beg pardon, sir, but there's a messenger from the shore. I can't understand a word he says.
Very well, I'll come on deck. I think you'd better accompany me, Mr. Bush.
Thank you, sir.
Load, thank heaven. Never seen such a dastardly murderous gang of cutthroats in my life. Soldiers, they call them. I'd give a week's backy to know what the captain's up to.
He don't stand what he's standing from this Supremo phenomenon.
Well, here we are.
Man alongside. Come on, Anson, up that ladder. Up the ladder, I said. We aren't sitting here all day.
Lord, he's as awkward as a powder monkey.
Let's have his nasty soul stand from under!
Tradition fine time to go swimming, is it?
He can't swim. We'll have to fish him out.
All right. I'll go in for him. Here, out the way there. Well, here goes.
Well,
Up there, wriggling. Where else can they kid go?
All right. I got him. Come on, boy. Up there, come. Right now, go on up the ladder. Come on, I've come behind you to see you get up this time.
Well done, then. I'll see you get an extra top for that piece of work. Now, get that man below and find him some dry clothes.
Capitan, oblige me by hanging those two men from the yardarm.
What?
I said, please hang that clumsy fool of a soldier.
But
I will not have fools in my army. And your seamen must be hanged for daring to save a man I would prefer to have been drowned.
With all due respect, Supremo, if I did what you wish, my men would no longer respect me. And it's essential for the success of our venture, yours and mine, that I should keep the loyalty and love of my crew.
Love? Captain, I will show you loyalty. Where is that scum who fell into the sea?
Supremo, I am here.
I shall be merciful because it pleases me to be so. I was going to hang you, but instead I give you permission to drown.
Thank you, Supremo, thank you.
Blimey, he's going to jump overboard.
So. And now, Captain, you will of course hang your man.
I bow to your wish, Supremo, but may I not have the honor of following the lesson you have so kindly taught me?
I do not understand you, Captain.
Allow me to demonstrate. Harvey, come here.
I'm here, sir.
You have displeased El Supremo, Harvey, which means death. I give you permission to go.
Permission to... thank you kindly, sir.
The vanity of Supremo was so colossal that it apparently never occurred to him that Harvey was probably the finest diver and swimmer in the British Navy. Landed my mad and cutthroat ally, El Supremo, at the port of La Libertad, and he disappeared with his murderous army in the direction of El Salvador. For the space, I was free of him and all his works, and no longer under the necessity of pretending to pay him homage. The sky was blue, the sea was blue and silver, and in my pleasure, I so far forgot myself as actually to converse with Lieutenant Bush.
Well, it's pleasant to be at sea again, Mr. Bush, with our ship to ourselves.
It's better than a tonic, sir. Harvey's glad to return to work, too, sir. He didn't like hiding in the cable tier after we picked him up. It mightn't be a bad thing, sir, if that fellow Supremo happened to get killed in the fighting.
Well, I don't know, Mr. Bush.
Hey, no!
Hey, you.
Where away?
On the port bow, sir! A two-masted lugger, sir! She's right to windward, running down to us under all sail, sir.
She don't like the look of our gun, sir. She's hove to, just out of range. Hey, she's setting about, sir.
The dinghy danced jerkily across the water, and presently a man came scrambling up the ladder. So many strange figures had mounted that ladder of late. This new arrival wore the full dress of the Spanish Royal Navy, and his epaulettes gleamed in the sun. He came forward and bowed.
Captain Hornblower.
I am Captain Hornblower.
Captain Manuel Diaz, at your service. I have to welcome you as the new ally of Spain.
Ally of Spain? Is this a jest, sir?
Sure, it is no jest, Captain. I've been seeking you for the past 4 days. Let me explain.
Please.
Last month, Napoleon Bonaparte stole our King Ferdinand from us and has named his brother Joseph King of Spain. In consequence, the Spanish government has signed a treaty of perpetual alliance and friendship with his Majesty of England. Lest you doubt me, sir, I have here some letters. One from your admiral in the Leeward Islands, sent overland from Portobello. One from His Excellency the Viceroy of Peru. And one from the English lady in Panama.
Thank you. And be good enough to pardon me while I retire to study these documents.
Sir,
Mr. Bush, you will entertain Captain Diaz until my return.
Aye, aye, sir.
Senor Diaz, everything appears to be in order.
Senor?
Greetings to our new allies. I am proud to be serving with Spain against the Corsican tyrant.
Thank you, Captain. We were very much afraid lest you should fall in with the Natividad before you heard the news, because she has not heard it either. In that case, I'm afraid your fine frigate would have come to serious harm.
Navit, bring the prisoners up from the cable tier, quickly.
Aye, aye, sir.
I regret to have to tell you, senor, that by evil chance, the Natividad met us a week ago.
You met the Natividad?
I plunged feverishly into an explanation, but it was not easy to tell a Spanish captain that I'd captured a ship twice my power without receiving one shot, nor to explain that the ship was now under the flag of El Supremo. Then, a fresh and harassing aspect of the situation struck him.
Something must be done. The Manila Galleon is at sea. She is due to arrive at Acapulco next month with priceless treasure. The Natividad will intercept her and... Oh, her loss might well bankrupt our government.
Very well, sir. My duty is plain. I will take my ship back to fight the Natividad.
Thank you, Captain. You will call at Panama first to consult the Viceroy?
Yes.
Then I will bid you goodbye for the time being. If I reach Panama first, I will arrange your welcome.
Thank you, sir. You see, Mr. Bush, the situation is complicated.
Such your fault, sir. After all, you have only obeyed your Admiralty orders.
The Lords of the Admiralty will not allow such a small point to influence their opinion of a captain and his officers, who are the cause of such trouble, Mr. Bush.
I feel you're right, sir.
However, there's another and more pressing matter. Lady Barbara Wellesley is at Panama and desires a passage in the Lydia to Europe.
Sir, how could we carry such a lady in the Lydia? A frigate is hardly equipped for comfort.
That is what I shall have to point out to the lady. So if she has the normal Wellesley blood in her, I suspect I shall be wasting my time. I was soon to have an opportunity of finding out at first hand. We sailed into the roadstead of Panama the next morning.
There's a lady about, sir. An English lady, I think. Wants to go aboard, sir.
She seems disinclined to wait for permission, it seems. We shall take no action, Mr. Bush. One of those masculine women. No real woman would catch and climb a rope ladder like that. Besides, what's an English woman doing in Panama without a male escort?
Mr. Midshipman, please be so good as to have my luggage brought up out of the boat.
There's the captain, madam.
Yes, so I see. But please have my luggage brought up while I speak to him.
I faced an internal struggle. I disliked the aristocracy. I could not forget that as a doctor's son, I had had to touch my hat to the local squire. Yet it would be foolish for a poverty-stricken frigate captain with no influence to offend a member of such a family as the Wellesleys. For the present, I decided on icy formality.
Are you the captain of this ship, sir?
Captain Hornblower, at your service, ma'am.
Well, I am Lady Barbara Wellesley. I wrote you a note requesting a passage to England. I trust you received it?
I did, ma'am, but I do not think it wise for your ladyship to join this vessel.
Please tell me why, sir.
Because, ma'am, we shall shortly be in action with the enemy. Also, we shall have to return to England via Cape Horn. Your ladyship would be well advised to make your way to Portobello. From there, you could reach Jamaica and obtain a berth in a West India packet, which is accustomed to female passengers.
I have informed you, sir, that there is yellow fever in Portobello.
Yes, ma'am, but...
1,000 persons died of it last week. That is why I removed to Panama.
May I ask why your ladyship was in Portobello?
Because, sir, the West Indian packet in which I was a female passenger was captured by a Spanish privateer and brought there.
See.
I regret, sir, that I cannot tell you the name of my grandmother's cook. But I shall be glad to answer any further questions which a gentleman of breeding would ask.
Yes, but we are going out to fight a ship of twice our force. It will be dangerous.
I would rather be on your ship, whomever you have to fight, than to be in Panama with a yellow fever.
Well, what of Cape Horn, ma'am?
Well, I have no knowledge of it. But I've twice rounded the Cape of Good Hope during my brother's governor generalship, and I have never yet been seasick. Well, soon, Captain, I will come to think that I shall be unwelcome aboard. I can hardly imagine that a gentleman holding the King's commission would be discourteous to a woman, especially to a woman with my name.
I was only doing my duty, ma'am, in pointing out the dangers to which you will be exposed. For myself, nothing would give me greater pleasure than your presence.
Supremo, and now to Lady Barbara. If I offended this lady, I might, well, never command a ship again. My wife and I might rot on half pay for the rest of our lives. I was 37 and not more than 1/8 of the way up the captain's list. The goodwill at the Wellensleys might enable me to reach flag rank.
Begging your pardon, ma'am, but your luggage is aboard.
Oh, thank you. Be so kind as to give this to the boat crew.
But, ma'am, there will be no room in your cabin for a tenth of that luggage.
I am aware of that, sir. I have dwelt in a cabin before. That sea chest will hold all I require. The rest can be put where you will. And now, may I see my cabin?
Well, you see, your ladyship, a frigate has two of the luxuries of an Indiaman.
I was just thinking that it was scandalous that a king's officer should be given such quarters.
And as I left to pay my call on the Viceroy...
Where shall I serve her ladyship's dinner, sir?
I don't know, Bush.
Ask her, blast you.
Horatio Hornblower, starring Michael Redgrave, is based on the novels by C.S. Forrester. Music composed and conducted by Sidney Torch. Produced by Harry Allen Towers.
Say I wasn't totally shocked by the slaying of the young boy. I guess I felt that Hornblower was going to sweep in and save everyone. By the way, I have no way to be sure, but did the poor young boy that was shot sound an awful lot like the legendary voice actress, June Foray?
For Frostbite Falls, as if you didn't know, is the home of Rocket J. Squirrel and Bullwinkle the Moose.
Almost lunchtime, Bullwinkle.
How about a barbecue in the backyard?
Good idea.
I'm in the mood to shish a few kebabs.
Like I said, I'm not sure the young boy in this episode was the talented woman who voiced Rocket J. Squirrel, but it sounded awfully a lot like her to me. What an interesting turn of events for Hornblower, huh? Allied now with the Spanish, sailing towards the Natividad, and a most interesting guest aboard. Please join us tomorrow for the continuing adventures of Horatio Hornblower. We hope you remember that you can listen to the Retro Radio Memories podcast almost every Sunday over at The Retroist. The Retro Radio Memories podcast is now available on iTunes, so I would greatly appreciate it if you might hop on over there and give it a review if you like the show. If you have any comments or feedback for the show, you can reach me at vicsage@retroist.com. The music we use at the beginning and ending of our show was provided by Peachy. If you have musical needs, you may contact him by email at peachy@retroist.com. A big thanks, of course, to The Retroist. When you need your retro fix, just hop on over to The Retroist at www.retroist.com. Until tomorrow, The Retro Radio Memories Podcast is off the air. This has been a Retroist production. Goodbye, and we hope to see you next time.